Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
So good to have you with us, everybody. It is Monday, November 23rd. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. I'm sure you're all getting ready. The birds are purchased or getting close to being purchased. And we're excited to be having you a part of this broadcast. This is a broadcast, again, created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals. As some of you know from some of our broadcasts, we are not broadcast professionals. That is rather evident. But we're here and gathered together, again, to really provide information on what's going on in the industry that's relevant and hot. And we're really excited to have you here. Very excited also to have been awarded the Progress in Lending Innovation Award. So thank you to the folks out at Progress in Lending. We've got in the Hot Topics segment, the Profit Doctor, also known as Andy Schell. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is with us. He'll be providing us, an update from the recent MBA Accounting and Finance seminar or a conference that took place in New Orleans last week. Very important stuff, especially about governance. I'm really interested in what Andy has to say about governance. I sipped on a cup of coffee just before starting the broadcast, and we're struggling with getting that one all the way down here still. Anyway, I want to start off by saying thank you to our sponsors. A very special thank you goes out to United Guaranty. They want to wish every one of our listeners a very happy Thanksgiving, and they want to make sure that they are telling you how grateful they are for your business and in making them number one. They are celebrating the just being the number one entity out there, the MI company out there in the space, and they've just done a great, great job. And they're really wanting to tell you that they want you to enjoy your time with your loved ones and friends. They also say be sure to be careful and allow extra time when traveling. You know, we get so hurried around the holidays, and it's so easy, and it's a great reminder. United Guaranty will be closed early on Wednesday, November 25th. They're closing early at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And they'll be closed, of course, on Thursday as well as on Friday. So wish everyone at United Guaranty a happy Thanksgiving as well. We are grateful. One of the things we're grateful for, Thanksgiving, is we're thankful that you're a sponsor. And good to have you with us. Check out their website, ugcorp.com. Get a hold of one of your local UG reps if you haven't already. Get a relationship with these guys. They do a great job. Also, say thank you to Velma.com, the electronic marketing assistant, virtual electronic marketing assistant. You know, everything's going virtual these days, and they do a great job of covering virtually every aspect of marketing, and they can do a set-it-and-forget-it campaign, or they can get in and create really very creative custom campaigns and do so on the fly and help you get your message out to your audience. They do that here for us on the broadcast. We're very grateful for it. Check it out at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com. Also, our new sponsor is Motivity Solutions, the leading business intelligence technology company providing real-time reporting as well as dashboards and scoreboards for all mortgage bankers. Very excited about their relationship. I got a chance to speak at their conference. And if you have not gone out and checked out their solutions, I mean, how can you manage a business in today's environment and not have real-time information? It's available to you. And to learn more about it, check it out at MotivitySolutions.com or call them at 303-721-9000. Of course, we always thank Alice, Joe, and Andy Schell for being a part of the broadcast on a regular basis, and we'll talk about their companies in just a minute. Let's talk about the upcoming MBA conferences. Very excited about what we have and out there, and we have a big one coming up. In fact, it's so important that I've invited Pete Mills to join us on the broadcast here to give us a little bit update on the MBA's Independent Mortgage Banking Conference that's coming up in Nashville at the Omni. Pete, good to have you with us. You've been a guest with us many times in the past, so many people know who you are on the broadcast, but you head up everything that's related to the Independent Mortgage Bankers there at the MBA, am I correct?
Correct, David. I run a policy group here of about a dozen very smart folks, and a lot of our efforts are industry-wide, but we also address and work with our members in segments, and the independent mortgage banker segment is a growing and critically important segment for us here, and that's one of the reasons we created the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference 4 years ago.
I think it's a huge contribution and great content that really designed specifically for independent mortgage bankers. But you talk about the growth. You mentioned that just a moment ago. Give the listeners a little bit of idea. When you started this 4 years ago, how many people attended and how many are already registered for the one that's coming up December 2nd through the 4th in Nashville?
Yeah, so we created this 4 years ago, and again, to recognize sort of the growing role of independent mortgage bankers in the market. I think if you looked at today's data, you'd find that IMBs are now close to about 50% of the purchase market in terms of their market share. It was not nearly that high in 2012 when we had the first conference in Dallas, and we had about 200 attendees. And this year, we're looking at more than 600 registered already. And could get close to the 700 number by the time the conference starts.
Well, we hopefully are broadcasting the promotion of it and encouraging people to attend it. Give us an idea of some of the content that's in the specific conference.
Absolutely. So, obviously we talk to our members quite a bit and try to program this to deal with the issues that they care about most. So we've got both sort of business issues as well as the policy and regulatory issues that our independent mortgage bank members have told us are the pressing issues for them. So if you look at the schedule, one of the issues we talk about at numerous meetings, and we have a session particularly on this issue of workforce diversity. We've got this aging workforce in our industry, and I think we are among
my
those.
Gray hair.
Exactly. Yeah, we are a part of that aging demographic. So we have a workforce diversity session that talks about not only ways to bring in younger millennials to sort of freshen up the workforce, but also attracting minority and bilingual staff to address some of the historically underserved markets and obviously the growing immigrant demographic. If you listen to the demographers, the first and second generation families are a major growth market for home ownership. And then the third piece of this session, we'll talk about providing employment opportunities for our returning vets. And we'll have independent mortgage bankers talking about what they've done in each of these spaces. We've got sessions on the GSEs. Zach Oppenheimer and Chris Boyle from Fannie and Freddie, respectively, will talk about what they're doing to address the needs of the independent mortgage bankers. Ted Tozer and Ed Golding from Ginnie Mae and FHA will talk about some of the policy challenges they're facing. We've got an M&A panel. We've got a panel on managing your MSR asset. As you know, a large number of independent mortgage bankers have recently gotten into the servicing space, and it is now probably their largest asset. So there'll be a session on sort of maximizing the value out of your MSR assets. So those are sort of some of the business topics that we've got, and we're obviously going to cover some regulatory issues, fair lending, marketing services agreements, and then I think we're going to close out Friday morning with a regulatory super session. There'll be about a dozen industry lawyers on a panel to answer questions on everything from TRID to MSAs, HMDA, LO Comp, whatever's on the minds of the folks in the room.
Exciting. Great content. Excellent conference. I encourage people to go there. It's at the Omni Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. And then also, we've got a couple other conferences that the MBA is pushing. If you want to mention those, Pete, we got the M&A as well as the Loan Trader. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we've got an M&A conference, which we'll do. We have a session at the IMB on that, but there'll be a much deeper dive in Phoenix on the 21st of January, a full-day program, buyers, sellers, as well as deal advisors, all talking through the elements of putting together a successful M&A deal that works for both the buyer and the seller. Industry Council will be there advising on some of the things that they see as the critical issues in the M&A space. And then on the 28th of January in Fort Worth, we've got our whole loan trading workshop. This is a growing area of sort of new opportunities in sort of the non-agency space.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so you have REITs, you'll have other whole loan buyers there, and again, sort of new opportunities outside of the Fannie, Freddie, FHA, Govy space.
Lots of information. You can check it out all, folks, at the MBA.org conferences and educations website, and so check it out. Pete, thanks so much for taking the time and giving us a little extra color on the upcoming conference. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. In fact, interviewing you for a future radio program, as well as a number of others there. So appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to tell us all about it, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David, and hope to see folks there.
Oh, you bet. Talk to you soon. Have a great one. Great rest of the weekend. Happy Thanksgiving, Pete.
Thanks.
All right, let's get over to Joe Farr looking at the markets, Joe. And, you know, this is a lot of data coming out this week on that. But let's not much movement today, but, you know.
No, we've been stuck in between, you know, where we ended the day Friday and down a couple 30 seconds. Been bouncing between the two. The only data that came out this morning was existing home sales, and it was a little weaker than expected, dropped from last month some. But, you know, the realtors are again, blaming it on lack of inventory. I don't remember just quite how far the inventory fell, but it fell to one of the lowest levels it's been in a while. So, you know, we'll hope to see that bounce back. And then the other thing that happened this morning was a little bit unusual in that the Fed, which has a meeting every other week or so, this is not the Federal Open Market Committee, but the Federal Board of Governors, to consider discount rate and liquidity reserves and things like that, announced that this meeting was going to be a closed meeting. And, you know, it caused the world to start wondering, what's that all about? And, you know, I haven't heard what came out of the meeting. They still may be meeting, I don't know. But, you know, chances are very slim that anything new regarding monetary policy is going to come as a result of this meeting, in that, you know, that's obviously going to be reserved for the FOMC. But, fairly quiet morning so far. The last week, we had a week where interest rates fell just a little bit, not a lot. Most of the favorable reaction in the market came on Thursday following the release of the minutes from the ECB meeting, not the Fed meeting. The ECB meeting described an environment wherein the market began to believe that the chance of more QE was growing, and that's a good thing for bonds. It's a good thing for MBS mortgage-backed securities, and so it's a good thing for mortgage rates. And we'll see if at the December 3rd meeting the ECB does move toward some announcement of additional quantitative easing. The minutes of the Fed came out last week, and because there were no surprises in it, and because there'd been many Fed speakers throughout the week, it had no effect on MBS prices, no effect on mortgage rates. Still just wait and see, let the data dictate, and about the only two really big reports left, and that's going to be next Friday's jobs report, and not this coming Friday, but the first Friday in December's jobs report, and we've got one more retail sales number to come out. The other data that came out last week was pretty much, you know, in line or no big misses anyway. Empire State Index fell a little bit short. Philly Fed beat. Industrial production was a little short of what was expected. Core CPI came in as expected at 1.9%. And we'll see this week what core PCE looks like, and that measure of inflation's been running a whole lot lower than the PCI measure, CPI measure. In the housing data, we saw a pretty disappointing housing starts number, but when you broke it down, it's pretty much all on the multifamily side. So as it relates to you know, single-family housing starts, they fell just slightly.
Oops. Did we lose you, Joe? Looks like we may have. Well, Joe Farr may have dropped off there, folks. I apologize. I heard some clipping in his mic. Again, the way all of this works is just nothing less than amazing when you have the technology as you do. We're doing voice over IP, everything into a voice over IP switchboard, so it's amazing. This is all miraculous. But, Joe, I'm sure will be rejoining us here shortly with a latest update. But bottom line is I'm looking at the screens, and what we have coming out, you know, for the rest of this week, there's just a lot. GDP, the consumer confidence number. Wednesday is packed. I got to tell you, you got to stay tuned to the MBS quote line service and find out all that's happening. It's good to have you with us, everybody. There, it looks like Joe came back there. Let's let him finish it up. Yep, I see you just rejoined us. You were clipping a little bit there, my friend, so sorry to have lost you, but I finished it up. And
no problem.
Parting
words. You did a great job.
I appreciate it, Fred. I think we're good, folks. Joe will be, of course, part of the Hot Topic discussion, and so we'll be right back after this quick, brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Paul Malo sends his greetings to everybody, and unfortunately, he is not going to be able to join us today. At least I'm looking up and down the switchboard. I think this is one of the days he said he was not available, but I've got their website up here. Check out their website. Excellent information. It's www.imfnews.com. There again, that old habit of speaking the W spoke up. Anyways, imfnews.com. Check it out. There's evidence, one of the things he's on the headlines today, there's evidence points to a slight expansion of GSE credit box. So there's some insights that John Bancroft is reporting about there and writing about. Is there some evidence? We might see a slightly bigger credit box. That's interesting. Check that out. Also, TD Bank looks to nearly double its LO staff, focuses on growth in the Northeast. That's an important story. That's unusual, just the fact that there's a bank growing in some of the space. A lot of people are contracting, at least the bigger banks are. Eventually, also it says, eventually Loan Depot will go public. For the CFO, the resignation, he wrote some information about that, some things that Paul picked up on things I said. So Paul covers a lot of these details. Be careful what you say around Paul. He will pick up on every little detail. He called me right after the broadcast and says, what did you mean by the CFO resignation? So anyway, I think I was reading some stories about this last night, the Loan Depot IPO. Very good chance that that'll still yet happen, but maybe next year. Not sure when, but anyway, don't count that one out. Then also, there's an article, mixed views abound on the GSE loan limit. So there's some controversy about that. Check out that article. And then, of course, Ocwen, there's an article about restarts and some their stalled buyback, share buyback program. So some interesting information there Paul talks about. But lots of information on Paul's website. Check it out at Inside Mortgage Finance, or go to imfnews.com. There we go, imfnews.com. Paul, and to everyone there, happy Thanksgiving. He wishes the same out to all of our listeners. Alice Alvey, good to have you here with us each and every week, giving us update on everything regulatory. How is it's got to be, yeah, I heard you had the weather go through up there, and you got a dump on snow. Did you get dumped on?
We did. You know, we did not have any snow yet this year, literally none, and our first snowfall was a foot. So it's a
wow.
I don't know if that's a good sign or not. Yeah, but yes, it's very pretty outside right now, and it's snowing again. So
it's, what amazes anyway. Me is how absolutely fast they can clean out a stadium before a football game when there's a foot of snow, and how quickly they can get snow removal done inside of a stadium. It's just really crazy up there. So growing up in Minnesota, I just appreciate those things.
Well, good. Well, you know, so for my report today, I guess I'm going to just jump in and let everybody know. I mean, we did see that the House voted on the 18th to change the definition of QM, which essentially would be that, you know, the ABA is trying to get this expansion that would say if I'm holding the loan in portfolio, essentially, then
right.
I would have a safe harbor. Well, I haven't read anywhere yet where somebody thinks this is actually going to get signed by the president. I mean, we'll keep watching it, but I think there's a lot of complexity involved in trying to get something like that through, you know, everybody. I don't think people have forgotten yet about the meltdown. So at least right now it's taken one step further, but it's still got a long way to go. So we'll keep watching that for you. The TRID update in general is, you know, again, varied by company. A lot of places are not closing loans in 30 days, but feeling like they're able to close them in at least a reasonable expected period of time, a little bit longer. That I think Ellie Mae was talking about that it's consistent with maybe like an average of about 46 days right now. But we'll watch that. And, of course, that can vary by company. We're hearing success stories and problem stories. Really does vary by company and the level of training that folks did ahead of time. So we'll leave that as a side note.
Interesting. Predictable factor yeah. was training, huh? That's interesting. Not surprising.
Well, yeah. You know, I think I was this on a show before. Right. What an idea. To actually read the user guide that the LOS provider gave you and not think you're just going to pick it up and start keying things in. I think people have I don't have time for that. I'll figure it out kind of attitude about the system. And they got a little bit caught. I will tell you, some companies who put some protections in place have a lot of had a lot of success. One example is a company that said, these are the five companies I'm dealing with. That's it. Title companies. That's it. Nobody else. Now, they're small enough to be able to do that. Obviously, a national player can't. And they found that made a world of difference in being able to work closely with a set list of title companies. So anyway, whatever, you know, different solutions for different size companies, and we're watching all that unfold still. Now, with the Fair Housing Act, so on the Fair Housing Act, we did come up with, just a reminder for folks, right, this is a while ago where FHA came out with, and of course that means you should apply it to all your lending. If someone's receiving any type of disability pay, you can't ask them to prove if it's going to continue for 3 years. So you've just got to, you know, you're not going to be able to go to tell people they have to get a letter from their doctor that says you're going to be, and yes, I'm going to be disabled for 3 years. It's just, it's off the table, so you've just got to be very careful with that from an underwriting standpoint. It's an easy habit for underwriters to ask for, and there was a recent case where HUD settled with a lender because the lender was requiring proof for that. So make sure you don't go that far with your underwriting. A little heads up for those of you who are looking for shortcuts on SAFE Act compliance. New Day Financial got hit with a $1 million fine. Now, they had been already hit in the past by the CFPB, but now they're also banned from doing business in New York. That's the recent escalation of their compliance officer filling in tests for people and people cheating on the NMLS process. Now, of course, that's just the summary in the news. You know, they may have their side of the story, but nonetheless, It, you know, people have to take their own test and they have to take their own training. What a concept. and then
no shortcuts.
last but not least, wanting to make sure that, let's see, what was my last note here? Prospect mortgage fined for charging improperly disclosed and unsupported fees paid to companies' affiliates. This was back in 2010, 2012 when the fees were charged. So, you know, old loans are still getting looked at. Maybe that's the message here that everybody wants to make sure. You know, if you've ever thought, boy, I hope that stuff that's older isn't going to get looked at. I think, again, it's still open for review by any of the regulators. So, anyway.
Going back way beyond the
statute.
And going way beyond the statute of limitations, we have some lookbacks going on at Freddie Mac that's gone back over 10 years. And so it's really interesting. Just the lookback period is pretty extenuated. Extended much more beyond what some have thought is the statute of limitations on some of the stuff. It seems like if you make a government loan or anything related to that, which is, again, 95-97% of all lending activity, the look-back period is seems to be somewhat indefinite. So, anyway.
Good stuff, especially from a compliance standpoint. So that's what I have for today, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and I'm looking forward to picking Andy's brain on the conference. He's always got great stuff to talk about.
Well, he's got a big brain to pick, so it may take us the whole hour to get that all picked out. So anyway, lots of good stuff. Good, Dallas. Excellent. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Appreciate you being here, as you are each and every week, giving our listeners and all of us an important update on what's going on. I really appreciate your attitude about the New Day situation. It's important to Ray, when we get these fines, we assume, you know, that everyone's just guilty. Sometimes you just get, it's easier way out is just, okay, what do I have to pay to get this nightmare away from us? And so New Day is a well-run company. So anyway, I like the way you said that. Good job. Thank you so much. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
Yeah, good ad. I love that one. It's a good job. Yep, get the edge. Get Alice. That'll put you right smack dab. It's interesting that Alice talked about, you know, how training talked about preparedness. Those are prepared ahead. Surprise, surprise. You know what I mean? A little preparation works. Another way you can prepare is by reading really, really important news blogs and websites. And Sam Garcia, who is on the phone here with us, has got a great website, MortgageDaily.com. Sam Garcia, good to have you here, and happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Good, really good, bud. So what you got for us today? Looking at some of your headlines, I'm in your website again. Nice-looking website. I like the way you do it and all the data. The data is still one of your greatest strengths, though, but you've got some awesome news items here. So run through them for us, please.
Yeah, I was listening to Alistair, and I had to knock three of my headlines off here because she covered them, so she did a good job. Our mortgage market index, which is a reflection of per-user rate locks by clients of open close, it was up 19% last week from the previous week, and of course that previous week included Veterans Day, and we don't have any seasonal adjustments, so a lot of that was just the fact that we had more days in the week. Rate locks for jumbo mortgages, though, skyrocketed 71%. A lot of activity there. And rates on jumbo mortgages were a whopping 19 basis points less than on conforming rates. So we got a big negative spread going there. That's been going on for a while, actually. Ellie Mae put out its Origination Insight report last week, and they reported that the average FICO score for October was 722 for all loans. And while that was down a point from September, it was the lowest score that Ellie recorded since it started putting out this information in August 2011. So you could see that as we see some decline in refinance activity, there's a little bit more risk-taking going on out there. Always a good sign. FHA put out some data that we took a look at and added up some figures, and we came up with for all of fiscal year 2015, of course, which ended at the end of September, FHA endorsed $228 billion. It's a whole lot more than what they did the prior year, $148 billion. Big jump there. And on the other side of that, delinquency, single family delinquency of at least 30 days, including foreclosures and bankruptcies, was 12.13% at the end of this fiscal year versus 13.28% at the end of the prior year. So they're making some improvement on the delinquency rate, though I'm sure that new originations help to bring down that rate just because they haven't had time to go delinquent, you know, when they're that new. On overall loans, FHA, conventional, and so forth, mortgage loans, Black Knight reported that the non-current mortgage rate was down 13 basis points in October to 6.20%, and that was the first improvement in 3 months. The Mortgage Bankers Association, you know, they put out a mortgage finance forecast each month. They just put out one last week that it shows refinances during the fourth quarter of this year are expected to total $360 billion. They raised that from the month earlier when they projected just $345 billion in refinances for the fourth quarter of this year. So they're more optimistic. And then also Fannie put out its forecast last week also. They say that 2015 originations are going to total $1.711 trillion. That was up from the prior month's prediction when they estimated that this year's originations would come out to $1.697 trillion. And I'm talking about originations by all primary lenders. And that improved outlook on a month-over-month basis, that actually followed the prior month when they raised the collective estimate for 2014, 15, and 16 by over a half a trillion dollars. So it was already looking good the month before, and now they're even more optimistic about origination. So we got a lot of interest in that story. We could see that people like that news. Guaranteed rate, which in our second quarter mortgage origination survey ranked number as the 17th biggest lender in the country. They put out a statement last week that said that their closing times haven't been impacted by TRID or haven't slowed down. So at least one company out there saying that, you know, basically overall business is still moving ahead as quickly as they had done it before. And they are pointing to their digital mortgage that they recently announced, a new product they have. Wells Fargo disclosed last week that it had 122 mortgage servicing layoffs in San Bernardino, California, Southern California market there. Of course, you know, with delinquency having been on the long term or on the having trended down lately, they don't have as much need as many companies out there as they did when the things were a little bit more distressed. And then one other thing, you were all talking about loanDepot and that there's still a possibility they could do an IPO. And you know, their CEO wrote on a blog this last week, you know, explaining, you know, that they don't necessarily have to have an IPO in the future. It's an option. But he put in a quote that it was worth quoting here. He said, "The surfer crowd from SoCal can compete with the Silicon Valley hoodie crowd."
that cracked me up. Yeah, I read that when I was on the website here, and I saw that, and I was going, unbelievable. That's quite an interesting statement. It gives you some insights into to him and his way he communicates. So I'm very excited.
And, of course, I can appreciate what he's saying there because, hey, I grew up surfing in Huntington Beach, so I used to be part of that crowd.
Yeah, I lived there for a bunch of years right off the beach, and it's when I first moved out to California, it was a great place to live, but anyway, it's interesting that you compare the two crowds. I'm not sure that's necessary. But anyway, Sam, thanks so much. Lots of good stuff on the website. If you have not, folks, signed up and received the MortgageDaily.com website, check it out, www.MortgageDaily.com, or get a hold of Sam Garcia. You can reach him by writing or emailing samgarcia@MortgageDaily.com or give him a call at 214. I want you to move south here, evidently, 512. But anyways, real number is 214-521-1300. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving, and the audience, too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend. All right, very good. Well, folks, we're going to be right back with Andy Schell giving an update on everything that happened at the MBA's Accounting and Finance Conference, and do so right after this break. Thank you.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving to you all. And one of the things we're grateful for is for those that participate in this podcast on a regular basis. And, of course, Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is right there in the middle of it. But also just a great friend, someone I encourage everyone to get to know. Profit Doctor,
Good to have you here with us, my friend.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's awesome to be here with you.
Always fun, and we appreciate you taking some time to prepare for this and give us an update from the conference. So, you know, let's start about talking about the attendance. Who attended this? I mean, Pete talked earlier about the growth in the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference. Was this well attended?
It was. It was well attended. It was very well attended. There were, I think, over 400, almost 500 people, accountants mainly, there. And
that's got to be an exciting crowd. I'm just
there's some truth in that. You know what's interesting about the accountants is that they actually go to the sessions. For the most part, if people sign up, they actually attend and take notes and pay attention and try to learn and use it as a means of, you know, pursuing these topics, because you know, there's really no other place to do that. If you really want to have a forum to understand or ask more questions, who are you going to ask? You know, there's nobody in your office to ask because you're the expert. So who do you ask when you're the one that's supposed to know?
There's not a ton of sanguine personalities in that group. So it's not sanguines that are hanging around out in the halls visiting and getting caught up with everybody. But it's really true. But also you look at the weightiness of what is going on in these sessions, and the weight is really falling on the accounting and finance departments, and specifically the CFO. So it's not surprising. They've got a really serious job there. Run us. I put up on the website when we were talking about some of the things, and then I want to spend a lot of time talking about governance, because I think it's one of the things that's mostly missed here. But before we go there and spend the whole hot topic segment or the rest of the hot topic segment there, let's talk a little bit about some of the things you saw. Overall, the trends and outlook for the industry. Any reflection on that from the conference? What's the takeaways?
Yeah, it was very positive.
That's encouraging.
A lot of perspective on the future being optimistic and positive in terms of growth, in terms of housing, in terms of mortgage banking, support of the lending environment. All of that was positive. The one negative, I guess, is the looming impact of the CFPB on independent mortgage bankers. There were a lot of people at the conference from commercial banks. There were people at the conference literally from coast to coast. There were people there from Puerto Rico that I happened to have the opportunity to talk to. And it, literally all across the country, there are people here from independent mortgage bankers and a surprising number from commercial banks, either commercial banks with mortgage lending divisions or commercial banks that are owning a mortgage company subsidiary. And when we get there, we can even see this trend in the topics that were discussed at the conference.
That's really interesting. I want Alice and Joe jump in on this part, or jump in anywhere along the way here. Let's get your perspective on things. And then as you're preparing your question, any FASB updates? And then I want to go to Alice and then to Joe. Any FASB updates that were talked about there?
Well, there were a couple of FASB updates, but they were mainly related to the pending international financial reporting standards that are coming. Now,
that's still a future.
Yeah. So what that means is that GAAP goes away. So in some of the things that GAAP requires mortgage companies to do would be different, and that could actually be a positive thing. But the international financial reporting standards merger is years away still. It was originally thought it would have happened already, but with the crash in 2008, it was delayed. So that was the biggest FASB update. There are a number of things in the Financial Accounting Standards Board relating to leases and capitalized leases, and pretty much all leases are going to become capitalized, which relates to on-balance sheet financing activity disclosures more than anything that's just really boring stuff. Hey, but Dave, can I digress just for a quick second?
Sure.
I had in my notes here I wanted to give a special thank you to a few people, particularly Marina Walsh with the MBA for her reaching out and letting me speak. She sent off the list of topics, and when I saw the topic that she let me address, the beyond the numbers, managing up to the CEO and board, I thought, wow, what a great topic. That's right down
perfect for you.
My sweet
yeah.
spot. Yeah, and so she let me expand the topic and come up with the content that I thought was relevant, and she let me create my own panel. So it was
wow.
really neat to be able to do this. And this is a little bit different of a topic for the MBA, Financial and Accounting Management Conference, because most of the time the topics are very technical and granular. They're really about how do you record the journal entries for a mortgage servicing right. And this topic was really the practical application of advanced finance. How do you explain to the CEO what just happened and why it just happened because of some esoteric smoke and mirrors because of GAAP? So I thought it was very insightful of Marina and the group to come up with this topic, and I was really delighted to be able to present the topic.
Cool.
Another quick
now,
thank you.
Yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely. No, go ahead.
Another
please.
Quick thank you, if you'll indulge me just one more second here, Dave. There's a growing number of CPA firms that are supporting the conference, but I wanted to specifically mention Spiegel Accountancy. They're out of San Francisco, Walnut Creek. To Jeff, Henry, and Margaret, they are very supportive of us at the conference, along with KSJG. They're down in Southern California with Dana Giuano. And then lastly, ACS is a CPA firm out of New York, the Northeast, and Santo Chiarelli, all very dynamic accountants, all very knowledgeable of mortgage banking. And what we're learning more and more is that mortgage banking is such a dynamic and complicated environment that just not any CPA auditor will do. You really need to get a CPA who is knowledgeable of these topics, and these three firms in particular know this space very, very well. So thanks, Dave. I appreciate you letting me say my thank yous.
No. Let's toss the mic over to Alice and Joe. Let's start with Alice.
Hi, Andy. Well, this is fascinating.
Hi,
so I know we have talked in the past about the numbers. So I have a question, though. I'm going to keep very simple. You know, when you say that, you know, I have to have a mortgage, a CPA who really knows mortgages, there's a lot of companies out there that will say, well, I don't retain servicing. So do I really need, I think my guy or my gal is okay. You know, do I really need somebody with that high level of expertise because they're going to cost me more if I'm not retaining servicing? And I'll still say to them, yes, you do, but you have to have Andy Schell tell you why. So can you tell them why?
Well, yeah, Alice. There's a couple of points to this. You know, back in the day when there was a large group of mortgage brokers, and mortgage brokers basically took an application and got a fee for it. You know, that's not much different than a lemonade stand. You received a payment and you recorded the payment, put it in your bank account, and you're done. Mortgage banking is so much more complex than that. I know Dave likes to use airplane analogies, so it's like going from a Cessna to a 777. It's just vastly different, and the complexity of mortgage banking is much more than it's been in ever, I think, and partly because of the compliance requirements. And so the CFO's role in helping to maneuver the path to see around the corner to get loan-level profitability, to be able to tell the CEO, okay, we made this much money on volume in San Diego, but up in Orange County, we lost money. And we lost money because we have a new policy that allows for branches to make the decision about lender credits, but they didn't apply it correctly. And so having that level of detail and an understanding of the impact of production policies relating to lender credit flows through to the gain on sale, and was that actually really recognized, and then all the way down to loan level profitability, so you can know your profit by product, your profit by branch, your profit by originator. You know, it just doesn't get there without having a really competent CFO. And it's even beyond that, frankly, because the CFO's role includes this look around the corner, see things before they happen and prepare for those outcomes. But it's also, in addition to having a very comprehensive understanding of the issues, have the ability to effectively communicate the issues with the CEO and board, applying the CPA's critical thinking, but have the ability to persuade the CEO and the board about the actions that need to come next. So the CFO actually needs to be a salesperson too. They need to be able to communicate clearly and let people know, hey, we are heading for a cliff as fast as we can go, and when we get there, it's going to be fun for a little while because we're going to fly, but then we're going to hit the ground and that's going to hurt. So we've got to expect this is going to happen. Investors are slowing to purchase. Here's
great
another
point.
Quick example, and then I'll throw it over to Joe or whatever. But so we're talking at the conference, and people were asking me questions about pricing. And I said, well, you have to look at it in a holistic perspective. It's more than just the price. It's repurchase risk. It's purchase timing, because you could have growing company, growing volume, and you could have one of your investors is going to beat the price by 10 basis points, but that investor's slow to purchase loans. You got another investor that's a little bit worse pricing, but they purchase really fast. Which one do you pick? How do you know? Well, the secondary marketing person picks the best price because that gets the biggest gain and they get their bonuses. But the fact that they purchase slowly means that at month end, your loans haven't been purchased. You don't have your cash back. You don't have your gain on sale cash. And you can't make payroll because you tried to squeeze an extra 10 basis points as opposed to thinking about cash flows and then long-term repurchase risk and all these other things. So there's more to it than just what secondary marketing thinks. And that's what the CFO does. The CFO helps bring this holistic, comprehensive perspective to help make certain the company is making money long-term.
That's such a good perspective, and Joe, it's one you can probably appreciate, having been a CEO of a pretty major company, and I'd love to get your thoughts and perspective in this discussion.
Certainly systems help, and you know what Andy's describing takes a lot of work in creating your system such that you can get to that granularity, but you know, you've got to have, at least to the branch level, you've got to have them be their own cost center, know exactly how much profit the originations from that branch are generating for the company. And so absolutely, you got to have somebody that can guide that and then use the information and hopefully, as Andy said, stop you before you go off that cliff. But Andy, I wanted to ask, you know, as you were talking to people that were experiencing issues and making those up the board or their CEOs or whoever understand things, what are the examples of the things they found most difficult?
Great question.
Well, great question, Joe. A lot of CEOs come from the perspective that as long as there's more volume, everything's okay. It's, you know, make it up in volume even though you lose money on every loan. So there's just an ingrained kind of dirty little secret in mortgage banking that it's always all about volume, and more volume always fixes it. And both of those perspectives lead to disaster. And so that's where it comes back to how to effectively communicate. So we gave examples of using charts and graphs, arrows and colors, red, green, yellow, blue, and arrows. And we actually gave an example of some charts that we've created to help convey outcomes and graphs that we've used to help people understand the elements that come into the decision and how the elements all line up and affect the business in different ways, so that at the end of the day, the conclusion that the CFO knew from the beginning is effectively communicated to the others in the business. Because of the production team doesn't want to go out of business. The CEO doesn't want to lose their company. I mean, people don't get up in the morning and go, I'm going to go have a bad day. I'm going to go do a bad job. I want to go wreck my company. You know, people fundamentally want to do well and want to contribute. Now, they want to be successful themselves, but they also know that in order to be successful, we have to have this collaborative effort. And so it's taking and that's really the big difference. You mentioned earlier, Dave, about, you know, Alice about bookkeeper versus the CFO. And one of the most striking differences is bookkeepers sit at their desk, do what they're told, and post entries. CFOs analyze the financial arena as a whole and comes up with recommendations by applying their critical thinking and their ability to look around the corner to then effectively communicate those points up to management and the CEO using sales techniques, graphs, charts, KPIs, in order to make their point clear. So there's probably 3 or 4 degrees of separation from the bookkeeper to the CFO. And one of the things we were bringing to the CFO crowd that we were speaking to was this whole notion of a presentation style, presentation content. What does the CEO and the board need to hear, and how do you present it to them in a way that they can understand?
You know, communication, complicated aspects of this is really good. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, I was jumping in. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say I love that answer because that is a circumstance that every company deals with. It's not like I thought you were going to say something about, you know, mark-to-market on derivatives, kind of like what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac just got kind of affected by.
Right.
And it's not. It's the basics of, you know, sometimes more is not better.
Well, and what happens is that CFOs try to go in and talk about mark-to-market on derivatives, the unrealized gain in the interest rate lock commitment, mark-to-market impact, and nobody understood what you just said. You know, you might as well have been speaking Greek. And so it's a waste of time to start there. So when you, and that's what the CPAs want to do. The CPA CFOs want to start with detail. They want to start down at the bottom line. They want to start with all this 15 spreadsheets of data and say, look what I've built and look at all these details. And, you know, it makes people's eyes roll back in their head and they stop listening to them after 2 minutes. So we tell them, don't do that. It's about simplification. Simplify, simplify, simplify again. If you can explain it to your spouse, then you can talk to your CEO about it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I mean, and simplification does not mean not getting to substantive topics. It's how you communicate, and you're really effective at that. And I think that's a really valuable session. It must have been excellent. Joe, did you have anything more than that? I want to move over to with the time we have to governance, but
no,
I want to also
good.
Give a good. Andy, one of the things in a previous call we were on together this morning, you mentioned how it was really stellar. You did in the audience, and you had a good-sized audience, I understand, that attended your session. And then of the people that were there, you did a polling of the audience as it relates to governance. Could you share with our audience what you'd shared with me earlier in a previous conversation about that? And then let's talk about the importance of governance. And you think, well, I'm an independent mortgage banker. Governance is for the big publicly traded companies or the banks that have to deal with regulators. That's not so true. So bring our listeners up to date on that, please.
Sure, absolutely. The way that the content of the webinar was originally conceived by the MBA was to begin with the notion that when you present to your CEO and when you present to your board, these are some of the points to consider, and then I expanded upon it substantially. But I realized in going through the presentation that people may not have a board. They may not have monthly board meetings. They may not have a board at all. They may not have monthly financial reviews they do with their CEO. And I thought, you know, we need to start with the why. Why do we have this kind of presentation? And so we started the presentation by going through a couple of basic CFPB mandates. And one of the CFPB mandates is the requirement to have a compliance management system. So when people hear that, people hear a compliance management system, and they automatically think, oh, we got to get our disclosures out on time. And while that's true, this is not what I'm talking about, and that's not
right.
What the CFPB is talking about. CFPB, when they talk about compliance management system, they're talking about corporate governance. They're talking about broad-based oversight of the company's operation as a whole. And so what that means, what the CFPB says, this is straight from their bulletins, is they say the owner or the board of the company must, and they've listed like 6 things here you're supposed to do, and I don't have to list them all, but it's basically make certain that the operation is running within the legal requirements. Make sure the operation is taking care of the details well. Make certain that communication among the employees is happening effectively. And then you then have to review the operations to ensure that the responsibilities and the legal requirements you delegated are met. And then you have to take corrective action, updates, tools, and systems, and materials to then ensure that the corrective action is taken. So to distill that all down, the three main points are: you have to make certain that compliance and management responsibilities are identified. You have to make certain that operational results are reviewed. And if there's corrective action needed, you have to make certain that it's implemented effectively. So we went through this slide at the presentation. And then I said, okay, to the audience of like 300 people, I said, how many of you have a governance structure, a compliance management system in place today at your organization? And I was astounded because like 10 people raised their hand. I then said,
Out of how many people are 10? Give us a sense of if we were in the room looking at 300 people in the room and 10 people held up their hand.
Yes, and we had previously asked other polling questions like how many people here are CPAs or how many people are here from the East Coast or, you know, just to get the crowd engaged. So we'd previously asked other questions, and we'd had half the crowd lift their hand or, you know, so it's not like
people
were
afraid.
So
it wasn't a result
of
timidity at all. It was,
no.
This was a substantial. I mean, it was a test that's validated because you had a lot of everyone else participating in other questions. Good point. I really want to stress that. So only 10 people out of 300 raised their hand. And then you even got more defining on it, and that's really shocking.
Yeah. Well, then I asked, okay, for all of you that raised your hand, if you are part of a regulated depository, if you're a branch or a division of a FDIC or OCC bank, put your hand down. And that left only like four people with their hand up. So out of all this group of people, there were only four independent mortgage companies who said they had an active compliance management system, meaning they've got an active board that deals with the requirements of the CFPB. And that's just really scary to me because the CFPB is someday, I don't know, you know, it's like you talk about the thing that I've always loved about you, Dave, is that you see the future. And when the future happens is you might be 18 months away, it might be 6 months away, but you always have ideas about the future. And so I think I have that on this point, is that this is a tsunami on the horizon, this failure to implement compliance management systems.
Right.
Well, you know what I found, Andy, is I think a lot of people think it's a system. Like, we get that question all the time. I actually just sent out an email on it. And people think, like, you can buy that software. And when you try and explain to them that this is just as more so a people process and it's multiple components that have to come together, their eyes glaze over. They think, well, why can't I? You're thinking of project management, not compliance management. You have to explain the whole thing like you just did. I think that people get dumbfounded that this is actions that people have to do. It's not a software product.
Good point. You know, that, Alice, that's a really good point because I think, you know, we listen to you and watch you on so many of these things as it relates to compliance, but compliance does not necessarily mean just the regulatory issues that you're covering, and I know you cover a lot more than that, the full bandwidth on things, but when it comes to this aspect, it's and someone just sent me a message. They said, Lincoln, quit acting so surprised. You know we're trying to stay up on top of it. Yes, here's the most reason we have this broadcast is to help you listeners that are trying to stay on top of things. And I know it's a monumental task. If we act shock at any point, it's because we see how much is out there. Part of it is the shock that what's hitting our industry, what's coming on our industry, the rate in which you have to mature and grow. And one of the things that I've used as an analogy on this point, it's like moving out and preparing for life. You know, you're engaged, you're getting married, and the responsibilities, and you're moving out for the basement, what your parents took care of for you, now you're expected to take on. And we as an industry in many ways are growing up and maturing in ways that I'm not sure that everyone has prepared to. It's not if I'm showing shock or if I'm showing surprise, it's not to put down the industry or where you're at, but it's to wake you up. That's what this podcast is all about, is wake people up. And that's why it's so important that Andy attends these conferences. We bring back this feedback for you. Folks, wake up. It's not that you're some may be complacently and just being dismissive. You know what? If that's the case, then you know what? Don't know what to say with you. Just wish you well. Hope you have another career plan because the CFPB is coming after this industry. They're trying to help this industry grow, and maybe their tactics aren't necessarily the best the way they're going about it. But pay attention to what Andy's saying. governance is really important, Andy. And I think if what were the steps, what are the walkaway steps that for someone listening to this podcast would want to make, what would you say to get to review your governance, to handle that? Any walkaways other than pick up the phone and call you, obviously?
Well, they start with having a governance policy, have a compliance management system policy, and there's tons of information out there. Just Google it. You can get it from the financial institution. There's all kinds of the FFIEC. There's a lot of places to get it, CFPB. Get a policy on governance and then implement it. Create a board. And if you're an LLC and don't really have a formal board of directors, form an advisory board. Get three or four people that you know that can be on there that can help. Diversity is good, not just among, people in mortgage, people out of mortgage, people that are old, people that are young, and have a diverse board and then report to them monthly and have a way of tracking the results that need to be implemented. And another important side to this too, real quick, I know we're running out of time, is have a CPA auditor who knows mortgage and have a CFO who knows mortgage banking. There's a vast shortage of competent, qualified CFOs. Not just any CPA will do, first off. A CPA is a great solution, but if they don't know mortgage or not on the path to get training to know mortgage, just because they're a CPA, that means they could audit and eliminate, Stan. That doesn't mean they know anything about mortgage banking. So a good accountant that can bring to bear the responsibilities of the CFO, as I've described during this podcast and the 4 degrees of separation from the bookkeeper to the CFO, they have to have comprehensive understanding of the issues facing the industry and the analytical skills to assess it and then the communication skills to make a difference in communicating that information up. You know, my walkaway, Dave, I think was there are a lot of banks there, commercial banks, more and more commercial banks there, and we saw this non-compliance with the CFPB mandate for governance.
Right.
So, really the bottom line of it is the banks are ready to take over if the independent mortgage bankers don't get their act together. Because these FDIC banks, they've got compliance management system and governance nailed. They do it really, really well. There's a lot of things that mortgage bankers do better than banks, but not this
right.
stuff. And if this is going to be the litmus test, then the independent mortgage bankers are all going to become branches of depositories. So we need to be aware of this stuff and pay attention.
Really important. Excellent stuff. Andy, thanks so much for being a part of it. If people want to connect with you, how is the best way for them to reach you? You've got 4 seconds.
Andy@mbs-team.com.
Best way to do it. And if you're having trouble communicating, have Andy come in and do it for you. It's a great way to do it. Get it off your shoulders. Folks, good to have you with us. Andy, thanks so much. Again, Alice, Joe, thank you for participating. Appreciate everyone who's a part of this podcast making it possible. Have a great rest of the week and a happy Thanksgiving. Look forward to seeing you back here on Monday next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.